So first things first, last week, as I began to reflect on these things that Jesus said that we call very easily and quickly, we call them the Beatitudes, it occurred to me that I didn't really know what that word meant, beatitude, or where it had come from. So I looked it up. Thanks, Google. Beatitude. From Merriam-Webster.com, a state of utmost bliss. From Dictionary.com, supreme blessedness. And then from Britannica.com, which is more of an explanation than a definition, I learned that the word came from the Latin words beati sunt, as those sayings of Jesus were translated in the first Latin translation of the Bible in the 4th century, hundreds of years ago. And beati sunt means blessed are. So I guess it seems preferable to call those sayings of Jesus the Beatitudes rather than the blessed are's, because that could too easily be confused with the blessed are's, which Rod and the Rhinofskys and the Rose and my son Ryan might like. But I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind. Not that those are not blessed. Actually, I also wondered if what he had in mind was what those other definitions claimed, a state of utmost bliss or supreme blessedness. So I looked up the Greek word, which is makarios, and I found these definitions for that word: a state of being marked by the fullness of God, or to be envied. So those definitions seemed pretty different to me than supreme blessedness or utmost bliss. So I invite you to hold these ideas in mind as I remind you of the Beatitudes again. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Jesus is saying that these are people who are marked by the fullness of God, that these are people to be envied. What do we make of that? What would we say are the things that are deemed enviable in our world today? And I would add, often thought to be indicative of God's blessing. Power, money, influence, security in your life, maybe to be educated, to be in good health, to be beautiful. Any other thoughts? What else are indication or are things that are that we envy? I invite you to just think about that. Things that we envy that are often considered to be signs of blessing. God has blessed me so much. I think that to a large degree, those were the same things that were desirable in Jesus's time. Power, to have money, to have influence, to have security, possibly and probably even good looks and good health. People are people. And I think to a large degree, they were considered signs of God's blessing. But Jesus is saying, no, that's all wrong. Those are not signs of God's blessing. That's not what it means to be blessed. He's saying to his disciples that God's kingdom is different. The reality of God is different. God's ways are completely different than the ways of the world. And Jesus is saying to his disciples and to us, let me tell you what it's like in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about humility and the strength found in that. It's about vulnerability and the strength and the power that comes with that. It's about an openness of spirit and the honesty born of that. The kingdom of God is about a commitment to reconciliation that results from an orientation to love. And it's about the truth and justice and peace that grow from that. And God's blessing comes from those things, no matter the circumstances of your life. God's blessing comes from those things, no matter the consequences. God's blessing comes as you live those things, no matter what. That's part of what I hear in all of these blessed R's. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I hear humility. Blessed are those who mourn. I hear vulnerability. Blessed are the meek. More humility. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I hear an orientation to love. Blessed are the merciful, an openness of spirit. Blessed are the pure in heart. I hear more vulnerability. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's a commitment to reconciliation. And blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. That feels to me like the no matter what. In all of those ways of being that Jesus is describing, all of those blessed R's, I hear a call to an openness of spirit, a lifting up of vulnerability and humility, a declaration of the reality of God's profound blessing as a consequence of a relentless commitment to reconciliation and an orientation to love. These were the very early days of Jesus with his disciples. And it seems like he's letting them know in no uncertain terms that following him, if they are to follow him, that would mean learning to see a different world than what they've known, an upside down world. That following him would mean walking toward that upside down world, working for an upside down world, living within an upside down world, a world where humility and vulnerability, rather than brute strength and arrogance, would be desired, a world where openness of spirit, rather than personal security and closed-fistedness, would be valued, a world where reconciliation and love, rather than might and right, would be sought. A world where all of those things would lead to deep blessing. Jesus was telling his disciples that following him and learning to live in the world as he did, grounded and centered entirely within the love of God, would be completely different from the ways of the world around them. Their world would be turned upside down. Their understanding of the world would be totally altered, and their lives would be transformed. Jesus was telling his disciples that if they were to follow him and learn to be and do as he was and as he did, that that would lead to living more fully within the reality of God. And as they lived more and more into the reality of God, they would live more and more from within God's love. And more would their lives be marked, you remember that edition of Makarios, with the fullness of the reality of God. Regardless of the circumstances, the external circumstances of their lives. And they would more and more be deeply and fully and truly blessed. I dare say the same is true for disciples of Jesus today. And so let's keep working to live more and more fully within God's love, knowing that as we do, our lives might be turned upside down. Our understanding of the world and the way it works will be altered, and our lives just might be transformed. And in so doing, we will be deeply and truly blessed. And we might be able to deeply and truly bless and participate in the transformation of the world around us. Holy God, may it be so. Amen.